you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're
reading
here.
From Matthew 20, verse 28. For even I, the Son of Man, came here not to be served, but to serve others and to give my life as a ransom for many. Matthew 20, verse 28. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, July 29th, 2025. We began this message, We Are Disciples, What It Means to Follow Jesus, Part 1, last Tuesday and Wednesday, and we'll finish this topic up today as Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church delivers this message. The last few weeks on Tuesday and Wednesday, we looked at what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, that you must, 1, be with him constantly, 2, love him supremely, 3, love the church unconditionally, 4, obey him continually, and today we're going to hear 5, serve him unselfishly, and 6, share him eagerly. Here's Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church on today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends.
The fifth qualification, to be a disciple of Jesus, I must serve others unselfishly. I've got to learn to serve others. And service is a very, very important part of your spiritual growth and your spiritual development. Because God says it's not all taken in, it's giving back. The Bible says, if you want to be the most important person, you must take the last place and be the servant to everyone else. Now, that's about the most counterculture statement you can figure in America. Because he says, if you want to be the most important person, you got to take the last place. Be a servant to everybody else. God is saying that the kingdom of God values are the exact opposite of the world's values. The world's value says, it's all about me. We do it all for you. It's all about you. Have it your way. You deserve it. You got to look out for number one. The world says, you are more important than anybody else. And that's a way to be miserable in life. God says, give your life away. See, the world's value system says, get everybody to serve you. And Jesus says, no, no, leadership is not dependent upon how many people serve you, but how many people you serve. He says the best leaders are those who are helping other people, not using the people to serve themselves. The world says, live for yourself. God says, give your life away. Now, why is this so important? Let me give you a little advice. The key to happiness in life is to find significance. Happiness does not last unless you find significance in life. And everybody wants their life to be significant. The problem is we look in all the wrong places for significance. Success does not give significance because you can always find somebody who's more successful than you and you start feeling bad. You can be successful and it won't give you significance. Salary doesn't give you significance. You can make a lot of money. There's nothing wrong with making money. You can make a lot of money, but it won't give you significance. I probably know a dozen billionaires. I can give their names and you'd know who they were. And they would tell you that money does several things. It makes life easier. It removes some worries. It can make you more comfortable. But money will never give you significance. And that's the key to happiness. And we get tired of things. And so that's why we have to redecorate. So significance doesn't come from salary, it doesn't come from success, it doesn't come from status, the little symbols on your car or on your shirt, it doesn't come from sex, it comes from service. Because God wired the universe that the only way your life takes on significance is you give it away. Why? God wants you to learn to be like him, unselfish. The most miserable people in life are self-centered. It's all about me. I'm living for me, my pleasure, my needs, my comfort. It's all about me. And that's the way to be a miserable person. The happiest people in life are those who give their lives away. They're serving others, whether they got money or not, doesn't matter. Their significance gives them their satisfaction, their meaning, their purpose, their value in life. So he says, give your life away. Now, who's our model for this? Jesus. Look at the next verse. Jesus said, for even I, The Son of Man came here not to be served, but to serve others and give my life as a ransom for many. You might circle to serve and to give. He said, I came to serve and I came to give. That defines the Christian life. And the more you learn to serve and the more you learn to give, the happier you're going to be, the more fulfilled you're going to be. Because when you do that, God says, I found somebody who gets it. I'm going to pour blessing into their lives. Now, why is serving so important to spiritual growth? Because you can't just take in, you've got to exercise. And spiritual exercise is when you do something unselfish, when you serve others, when you minister to others. You can't just sit, soak, and sour. You can't just keep taking in. If your whole Christian life involves just going to church, listening, sitting down, taking notes, and going home, it ain't going to work. Impression without expression leads to depression. You have to exercise. Ministry is movement. As I said, you got to move it, move it. And if you do that, then you're going to grow. You know, if all you did was eat the right food, you wouldn't grow. You have to exercise too. It's not enough. You know, sometimes people, they just are spiritual feeders. And all they do is listen. And they come to church and they listen. And then they turn on the Christian radio and they listen. And they go to a Bible study and they listen. And you just start getting fatter and fatter, and you're eating more and more spiritual food and bigger till you're so big, we have to roll you down the aisle. And that's where we get the term, holy roller. If you don't move it, move it. If you don't have any exercise in your life, you will not grow spiritually. You got to develop some muscle. How? By serving. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you got to learn to be the servant of all. Now, of course, here at Saddleback Church, the opportunities are endless. I mean, you're in a church that literally has thousands of opportunities to serve. Personal peace, thousands of opportunities. Local peace, thousands of opportunities, projects. Global peace, thousands of opportunities. Spiritual growth requires exercise, not just study. It involves service, too. Now, there's another thing that this verse teaches, and that is you're never going to grow spiritually until you learn to sacrifice. Spiritual growth requires sacrifice. Why? Because it's all about love. And the essence of love is giving. It's the essence of love is sacrificing. If you've never had to sacrifice for anything, you don't know the deeper levels of love. You know shallow love, but the deeper levels of love are the levels of sacrifice. Losing your life to find it. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 16. If anyone wants to be my disciple, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Notice three definitions of sacrifice. First, he must deny himself. What does that mean? It means I say, God, I'm putting my agenda on the shelf and I'm going with your agenda. It's not my plan, it's your plan. It's not my purpose for my life, it's your purpose for my life. I'm going to deny myself, my plans for my life. I'm going to say, God, what did you put me on this earth to do? I want to go with your plan. That's denying yourself. That's sacrifice. Then it says, take up your cross. What does that mean? Take up your cross literally means be willing to sacrifice for good and for God, even if it means dying. Because the cross was an instrument of death. Only God can turn a negative into a positive. The cross is a symbol of torture. Now today, we don't understand what it means to take up your cross because we think of these cute little crosses we wear on necklaces, you know, around our neck. And it's just a nice little pretty piece of jewelry. But the cross was a symbol of torture. It was a device for capital punishment, extremely cruel and excruciatingly painful, invented by the Romans. Today, the equivalent would be wearing an electric chair on a chain around your neck. People, what are you wearing an electric chain before? Because it'd be wearing a symbol of torture. But God took that and turned it into a positive. You know what a cross is? It is a minus sign crossed out. It's a negative turned into a plus. And that's what the cross does in your life. God takes the negatives in your life, the minuses, and he makes up for it with what Jesus did for you, and he turns your negative life into a positive life, into a plus. Now he says, take up your cross. That means be willing to die for Christ. You haven't been asked to do that in America, but all around the world, 137,000 Christians did that this last year in the world. Gave their lives. They took up their cross because they were killed simply for believing in Jesus. Now, there's one more thing. Okay, Jesus saying, if I'm going to be a disciple, I've got to spend time with him. I've got to love him supremely. I've got to love all everybody else in the church. I've got to obey him continually. I've got to serve others unselfishly. Here's number six. To be a disciple, I must pass on the good news. I must pass on the good news. When I hear it, I'm supposed to tell somebody else about it. Matthew 4, verse 20. Jesus called out, come, be my disciples, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and went with him. Now, what's he talking about here? One day, Jesus is walking down the shoreline of the Sea of Galilee. Peter, James, John, and Andrew are brothers and cousins, and they're professional fishermen. Now, in those days, you didn't fish with a rod and reel. You fished with a net. So you throw the net out. They're on the shoreline mending their nets. Jesus is walking by, and he looks at him. He says, while he's walking by, come be my disciple, and I'll show you how to fish for people. What's he mean by that? I'll show you how to change lives. I'll show you how to get people into heaven. I'll show you how to bring people to me. I'll show you how to share the good news. You will be a fisher of men. He says, follow me, and I will teach you, I'll make you fishers of men. Now, the corollary of that is, if you're not fishing, you're not following. Is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? If you're not fishing, you're not following. If you're not telling it to somebody else, you are not being a disciple. You see, God expects you to pass it on. If I knew the cure for cancer and kept it a secret, they should put me in prison. It should be criminal to know the best news and not share it. If I knew the cure for AIDS and I didn't share it with anybody, that's criminal. I know something better than that, and you do too, how to have your past forgiven, purpose for living, home in heaven. And God calls us to share it. Look at this verse on the screen. Paul is talking to Timothy. Timothy was the disciple, the apprentice of Paul. And Paul says, Timothy, take the teachings that you heard from me in the presence of many witnesses and entrust them to reliable people who, these reliable people, will be able to teach others also. Now, leave that verse on the screen for a minute. Four generations in this verse. Paul says, I got the good news, Timothy, and I passed it on to you. Now, Timothy, you're to pass it on to other people who are reliable enough to pass it on to a fourth generation. You're going to go to heaven because somebody told you. And somebody told the somebody who told you. And somebody told the somebody who told the somebody who told you. Is the chain going to break with you? Is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? Christianity is always one generation away from annihilation. One generation away. If you don't tell somebody, who's going to be there? Jesus says to be a disciple, you must pass it on. Look at the next verse, Matthew 28. Therefore, he says, go and make disciples. Once you're one, he says, you're to go make others. You're a disciple. Now, go and make other disciples of all the nations. In Greek, that's ta ethne. We get the word ethnic from it, from the Greek word ethne, ethnic food and ethnic language, things like that. Go and make disciples of all ethnics, all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's a Trinity. If you haven't been baptized, you're baptizing today. And teach these new disciples to do the same thing you do, to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You know, in 2007, in our church, we set 10 goals for our church. We call it the 10 by 10 goals. We haven't talked about them lately, but they're 10 goals our church wanted to accomplish by December of this year. We are well on our way to reaching every one of those goals. One of the 10 by 10 goals was to be the first church in the world in history to actually do this verse, to literally go to every nation. So we started the thing called the Peace Plan. Now, there are 195 nations in the world. There are 193 that are part of the UN. Two nations are not a part of the UN. North Korea and Bosnia are the only two nations not a part of the UN. Of those 195 nations, we've already sent over 8,000 of our members on a peace trip to about 150 of those countries. So we've got about 45 or so nations left, which we will go to this year. And many of you will be a part to go. And we will be the first church in 2,000 years to literally have gone to every nation, making disciples in every nation. Why do we do that? Because we believe Jesus said, do it. Radical witness. On the 25th anniversary, which was Easter 5 years ago, on our 30th anniversary, we're going back to Angel Stadium, going to take about 50,000 of our people, bring Saddleback San Clemente, Saddleback Irvine, Saddleback Corona, everybody be together and celebrate our 30th anniversary on Easter Sunday in Angel Stadium. It's going to be fun. It will be fun. But on the 25th anniversary, everybody held up a sign that said, whatever it takes. That is radical witness, saying that we want to share the good news with everyone, everywhere, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. And our goal is that each one reach one. I want you to pray, Lord, help me to bring one person to Jesus this year. Not two, not 10, one. I want somebody to be in heaven because of you. And if you start praying about your friends who don't know the Lord, God will make it so easy. They'll come to Christ. You can reach one person for Jesus. That's what it means to be a disciple. We pass it on to somebody else. What happens? Look at this verse on the screen. If I do these six things that Jesus says to do, and I become a disciple, here's what happens. Jesus said, if you try to keep your life for yourself, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, and for the sake of the good news, you will find true life. Now, as we close, I want to show you something neat. Everybody take out one of the decision cards, okay, in front of you. I want to explain this to you. I haven't explained this in a long, long time. Everything I just taught you is on the back of this card. And even this card is intentional to help you grow spiritually. Notice on the backside where it says, next steps in my spiritual journey, and there are 8 commitments there. Why are those there? Because we grow by making commitments. I don't know which is your next step. Maybe it's I'm committing my life to Jesus today, or I'd like to be baptized, or I'd like to join a small group, or I'd like to help start a group. I'll begin tithing or whatever. We grow by making commitments. Then notice we talked about how we grow by learning the truth. The truth sets you free. And so we have classes. Class 101, 201, 301, and 401. And those classes we're offering this afternoon. Why are we doing it? Because we grow through learning the truth. And then we talked about how you grow by making spiritual habits. And notice on that card, there's a list of 10 different habits there for information. Like, send me information on a quiet time or on tithing or how to serve God or sharing my faith or being in a small group or assisting the poor. These are habits to help you grow. We don't do this unintentionally. There's reason behind everything we do. We talked about how you can't grow unless there's exercise in your life. You've got to serve. And I listed 10 of well over 1,000 different ways you can serve. Now, I don't know what your next step of growth is, but the reason we use these cards every week is there's something real about making it public. If you make a commitment, but you don't tell anybody about it, you probably won't keep it. It's like if I said to my wife, honey, let's get married, but let's not tell anybody. She goes, what kind of commitment is that, Buster? Are you ashamed of me? There's something real about telling somebody else. And when you tell your pastor, and then I can pray for you and help you. What's your next step? Now, let me close by saying this. You will grow. You will grow spiritually if, here's the big ifs, 2 things. Number one, if you choose to grow. You got to say, I'm going to quit being a casual Christian. I'm going to quit being a wimpy, immature baby believer. I'm going to not be a half-hearted casual Christian. I'm going to grow up. I'm going to become a godly man. I'm going to become a godly woman in 2010. You will grow if you make the choice, and 2, if you take advantage of all of the myriad ways of classes, opportunities, programs, tools, events that this church has planned to help you grow. Let's bow our heads. Why don't you pray this in your heart? Dear God, I don't want to be a baby believer. I don't want to be spiritually immature. I want to grow up. I want to be a man of God. I want to be a woman of God in 2010. I want to spend more time with you, Jesus. I want to learn to talk to you like you're my best friend. I want to learn to love you supremely with all my heart and soul and mind and strength. I want to learn to love other disciples. I want to learn to love other Christians, the body of Christ. I want to be a part of this church family. I want to be in a small group where I can practice love. I want to do what you tell me to do. I want to continue in your teaching so that I can be set free from all of the hang-ups that hold me back, the worry, the fear, the anxiety, all the many things. I want to develop some spiritual muscle this year. I want to learn to serve you unselfishly. And I want to pass on the good news. Help me to find one person that I can bring to you, can become a part of your family and be in heaven because I shared with you. Lord, I can't do this on my own. And with your help, I will keep them in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You were just hearing a message by Pastor Rick Warren as we looked at We Are Disciples. We started last Tuesday and Wednesday and concluded part one today, what it means to follow Jesus. I trust, I hope, I pray you are blessed. And if you missed a portion of today's broadcast or last Tuesday or Wednesday and you want to listen to it again or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Today we looked at serve others unselfishly and share him eagerly. The last two Tuesdays and Wednesdays we looked at be with him constantly, love him supremely, love the church unconditionally, and obey him continually. Part two is up next. We are ambassadors. And I still haven't decided whether I'll start that tomorrow or talk about our WDKR 107.3 FM going on the air last Thursday afternoon to the glory of God. What an exciting, God-sighting filled few weeks, culminating with some special stories where everything came together last Wednesday and Thursday. I can't wait to share it all with you. But if you drive around the central Illinois area from whatever direction you're coming from, if you head towards Decatur, you're going to get a nice, clean, strong 107.3 FM. If you're driving on I-72, heading west from Champaign, or heading east from Springfield toward Decatur or Lincoln or Bloomington, 107.3 FM is the frequency for you. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.